Religious Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is meditation, and we have a gift for you that we'll talk about a little later in the show. But meantime, let's give some credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. The main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey, who wrote 24 volumes of literature. And also the following thought is from the works of Alice Bailey. Meditation is the mind's power to hold itself in the light, and in that light become aware of the plan. How does the mind hold itself in the light?
With great difficulty, if you're talking about my mind. I would hate to say how many years I've been trying to meditate, and I don't consider myself very good at it at all. I find it very, very difficult. Perhaps we should refresh our listeners' understanding with some points we mentioned on previous programs. One, that we're talking about meditation not just as a means of relaxation and stress reduction, although those are certainly worthy goals, and that's probably the way most of us begin in meditation, looking for a means to relax and to reduce stress. And beyond that, we find that meditation presents a kind of an open door through which you gain a new insight into your soul, your inner self, and the plan that your soul has for your life. The soul's plan is one with the plan of God. There is no real difference. There's only, I think, a matter of inclusive responsibility. The soul that is manifesting through each human being can do only a small part to make the world better, but collectively all humanity is responsible for the unfolding of the plan on earth. And that is referred to in the opening comment about meditation. By learning to discipline the mind, to control its jumps and lurches and leaps and glitches, and focus it on high-quality, abstract, divine ideas, the mind becomes receptive to still higher energies. And this process of meditation begins for just about everyone with learning to concentrate. And that can take a very long time. And then out of concentration, to learn to perfect one's alignment. There is an alignment in meditation just as there is, for example, in singing. Opera singers are trained to make their alignment so that the voice then will release the energy within it, and there won't be any straining. The voice will be released. The same thing or a similar thing happens in meditation, don't you think? There's a release of energy when the alignment is made properly.
Certainly alignment is the is highly important. Yes, it's the fundamental. If you don't have good alignment in the beginning, then the meditation work will not be successful at all. And it's the same in singing, of course. You have to have that proper alignment there, or otherwise your throat will get constricted and music will just come out sounding terrible, but it won't come out at all. But in meditation, you were talking about trying to hold the mind steady in the light. I mean, there is that phrase in the in the books. And,
the light of the soul is what it's referring to, right? The
right,
light holding the mind of the person.
It's not a gripping of the mind. It's not holding on to it to try to grip it, to stop this modulation. It's a process of slowing down the modulation process that eventually brings it down to a point of stillness. We in the Western world are so oriented towards the concrete mind that thinks and thinks and thinks all the time and analyzes this and that. Mm-hmm. It's constantly moving and modulating. And the objective is to slow that modulation down, because then you arrive at that point of stillness. And that's the jumping off place. You can't really do much of anything until you reach that point of stillness and quiet. And that's why the symbolism of the pond, the quiet, still pond, is often used to help in that reaching that point. And from then, you can begin to synchronize with that which is within that inner soul, the inner realms, because that's where you reach that point of stillness. And it becomes a synchronization with that point.
Yeah, synchronization is a good word. If you're thinking of wheels or gears, there are certain gears that have to mesh and become synchronized. There are different aspects to the mind, we're taught in the Ageless Wisdom. We think the mind is an entity on its own, a complete thing, but there are actually layers and realms to the mind. There's the concrete, outwardly focused mind that most of us are familiar with, but there's the level of the soul, which is the mind as pure consciousness. And there is the abstract mind, which is the part of the mind that can tap universal thought and come in touch with the intuition, which is the grasp of the plan for the whole. That's the best I can define the intuition. So all of these levels of the mind have to come into synchronization. How do we effect that alignment, that synchronization? Well, one technique is stillness, as you say. Another is using visualization, because that's a discipline of the mind to focus not just on pictorial images. Visualization can also be the creative imagining of flows of energy, can't it? Mm. And really meditation is about the flow of energy, the direction of energy for spiritual purposes, would you say?
Yes, and the deeper one goes, the deeper levels of meditation really don't involve thinking as we normally think of it. It's not the analytical thinking. It's more of a reflective type of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's especially when you're trying to synchronize with the purely intuitive level, which is a very deep and higher level of mind that most of us are just not able to reach for the most part. We think we're intuitive, but what we say is intuitive is really comes from a lower, more of an astral and emotional level. But the purely intuitive mind is involves more of a reflective, deep reflective thinking type of thinking.
Reflection, yes. That brings in another image I like that describes meditation. It's the image of a photographic plate. I saw a program on the work of the great photographer Ansel Adams recently, and he spent hours in his dark room perfecting and redoing the development of his photographs. That was where all the creativity seemed to take place, in the way he brought these images onto the paper through the use of the various liquids in the dark room. It was amazing the different effects he could get. That's an image for meditation, I think, that describes the reflection you're talking about. There's a lot of energy impacting us. I think we all know that and feel it and react to it with nervousness or fear or hostility or agitation or fatigue, but the energy on the level of the mind is trying to come through in terms of truth and reality, if we could still ourselves enough to receive its imprint on the level of mind and cause, instead of just reacting emotionally and physically.
Yes, all that emotional reactions must be stopped. It must be just left behind and not allowed to interfere with the deep reflective process, because once that happens, then it just puts up a whole barrier to the real meditation process.
I think one of the most important aspects of learning to hold the mind steady in the light is the realization that discipline is required and regularity in meditation. Just as great athletes train every day, or at least on a very rhythmic schedule, so must one meditate in a rhythmic, regulated way. It's really useless to attempt to meditate sporadically from time to time. You have to be disciplined and regular in your endeavor to develop the mental and spiritual muscles that make you an effective meditator. Even if you can only give your meditation 5 minutes one day, that's better than skipping it altogether and waiting until you can give it 15 or 20 minutes. Do something every day, if possible, in terms of meditation. Make it a regular part of your day, because it's said that the soul, the higher self, accomplishes its or makes its impression upon the outer personality, the outer objective self, through rhythmic impulse. And as we duplicate that rhythmic endeavor in our commitment to the soul by sitting in meditation, we establish a synchronicity. We show up on time, and the soul becomes able to regulate its instrument, which is us. So that's a very important point. Another aspect of the holding the mind steady in the light is the realization that gradually we're building a bridge in consciousness, which takes us from the level of the concrete, outer-focused, lower mind that is the part of our mind that analyzes, that discriminates, that defines, that names things and counts them, the usual objective focus of the mind, and it builds a bridge to the inner intuition that you've mentioned, and the abstract mind. There's also the level of becoming awakened to the divine will through this bridge, but we can come back to that in a few moments.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is meditation. Earlier in the show, I said we had a gift for you, and indeed we do. The gift is a pamphlet, The Science of Meditation, and all you have to do to get that gift is to give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. Just call that number and we'll be happy to send the pamphlet, The Science of Meditation, out to you. Our hope is that you'll explore this topic, meditation, in a deeper way, and perhaps even might be stimulated to read the works of Alice Bailey. The easy way to remember the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. Think of 1-866 New York LUCIS. And also, if you'd like a copy of this radio show, you're certainly welcome to it for a nominal fee. We'll send that out to you. We also need your help. All the work of the LUCIS Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUCIS Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We started off today's show with a meditation thought taken from the works of Alice Bailey. Once again, it's meditation is the mind's power to hold itself in the light, and in that light, become aware of the plan. So let's discuss that more. I think that's a powerful statement, and maybe we should speak about the plan.
The plan is that's the word or the term in the Ageless Wisdom for the intention of God for our world. You could say that the divine being, which most of us refer to as God, has some inscrutable, unknowable purpose that brought the worlds into being. The most we can understand about that purpose is that there is a plan, an intention for the world and all that lives upon it as we know it. And I think we come into some sense of that plan when we realize, for example, as more and more people do today, that all the different kingdoms upon our planet relate and interrelate to each other, and that there is a very fine balance and harmony that is interfered with when we live according to selfish purposes and not with the awareness that all of us have an effect on our fellow men and upon the planet as a whole. So our understanding of the plan is only in process of unfolding, but one of the main objectives of meditation is to gain at least an understanding of what the part of one's soul is in that plan. Everybody has something to give to the world.
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the things we should emphasize over and over again, because everybody has a part in this plan, no matter how insignificant you might think you are. You still have a considerable part to play. And if you can work with other people, even in meditation, that will be a tremendous boost to the plan, because, as we said, we're distributing energies, and meditation is a unique way, and it's a vital way of distributing energies of light and love and the will to good, which are the basic three basic qualities that are working out through the plan in through the human kingdom. And those are the energies of light and love and the will to good that come directly through the soul, and that's why the soul is so important as the agent in this working out of the plan.
You mentioned group meditation, and I think a lot of us might feel as individuals that we're not able to be effective meditators, but as part of a group, we do contribute to something that does carry considerable power to serve. And one of the wonderful aspects of meditation is to participate in a group meditation where you endeavor as a group to work as one mind and with one goal, which is service to humanity, as you say, the distribution of energy into human consciousness. One of the things I like about this understanding of meditation is that although it develops an inner awareness and a sense of the subjective aspect of life, it reorients the attention away from a purely outward focus, at the same time, it's oriented toward world and planetary need. It's not at all self-centered or indulgent of the self-interest. It's a way, and a very effective way, to serve the world. So many people, good people, probably feel bewildered, if not confused and appalled, by the shape of the world today and the trend of events. And there are those in positions of power to make a great difference on the outer level, and we need to hold them in our lighted thought. But for the rest of us, we can contribute through meditation, especially group meditation, to radiate light and goodwill into human consciousness. There, all responsive, receptive minds can draw upon that light and goodwill without perhaps even knowing it, to guide their own decision-making and their own choices and values.
One of the techniques, I just might mention this, we've mentioned this before, is the work, one of the activities of the Lucis Trust is called triangles. And that is an activity, it's a meditation activity where three people link up each day and form a triangle and visualize a lighted triangle between the three of them, and then see this triangle as part of a greater network of triangles. And the triangle is a very symbolic symbol, because it is the symbol of the soul, really. And by using this technique, one is actually participating in a worldwide meditation exercise. And we can send you more information about that if you just give us a call. Ask for the activity on information on triangles.
Not too long ago, there was one person in Sri Lanka who became aware of and interested in triangles, and he requested information that he could distribute in his community. And we saw more and more triangles being formed in Sri Lanka as a result of this one man's effort. And it was wonderful, because around that same time, the peace truce was drawn up in Sri Lanka. Not that we make any direct connection, but it surely must help, as more people in that country that had that ferocious war were in meditating to envision light and goodwill to radiate into human consciousness. It's a way that all of us can contribute to the clarifying of the world thought. There's another aspect of meditation that I think is meaningful to anyone, even if they haven't meditated a great deal. It's that it develops the esoteric sense, which is, in a nutshell, the power to live and function as a human being with an awareness of the subjective or inner side of life, and to develop a sense of contact with this inner dimension, with the soul. Even as one lives a practical and effective life on the outer level, because we have to live in the world, but I think, was it Christ who said we must be in the world, but not of it? We are of the realm of spirit, but we live and serve within the outer world. Meditation helps to build that link between the inner and outer realms. And this is what makes, I think, a real creative artist. That is a person who has a sense of the inner vision and is able to bring it through into some visual depiction. Any great artist has to be, in effect, meditating, whether he knows it or not, to bring through that realization and manifest it in his artwork.
And if you'd like a copy, if you'd like a copy of the show also, for a nominal fee, we'll send you a copy of this radio show. And also, if you'd like that gift that we talked about earlier, the pamphlet called The Science of Meditation, just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. Easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. Well, you've been listening to Inner Sight, and we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, Let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.